E1, number 36B.
And finally, we see that this consciousness as mind and love is really destroying what we have seen there. Remember what we have seen there, that it is really that false sense of matrix, namely structure blindness. Therefore, that we make demonstrations which are structure blind, which have no value within a bigger frame of reference, which may just have a value for the day and for a narrow system of reference, but which are wrong, you remember, which are wrong within the greater system of reference. We saw there at Mind and Love that so many demonstrations of what one feels were wonderful demonstrations are actually nothing else but evil demonstration that were not in the plane of love and acted only as a hindrance to the unfoldment of the plane of love. So that only that is being a real demonstration which within the biggest frame of reference is deemed to be right. And this is something which today we have to see more and more because America just seems to be full of mental groups and mental systems, all having their phenomena, all having their perfect demonstrations. And their demonstrations are welcomed and are valued very highly for those who think in a very narrow system of reference. Seen within the big reference, they are evil. We have seen that what seems to be good in one case is actually, when seen in a bigger plane, is really evil. So as to see that unless principle operates and gives proof that all the other demonstrations are no proof of being. No mental system can give proof of the divine being because mental systems all rely on mentality which is limited to human thinking. Whereas only spiritual proof or proof within the infinite principle can be regarded as proof. And so we get the real proof in science. And therefore, there it is where we end in this principle. Then really, the divine infinite principle of the level of science itself, through descending and translating through the various levels, have given its proof in the human and in the material as being the one and only principle at work. Yes, that's the great way of demonstration which you can consider. Now, we can take a third example which also has, in a way, a general meaning, which is not yet specific, therefore doesn't yet belong quite to that second category of which I was speaking. And that is an example how, for instance, we can culture our sense of the four sides of the city. That therefore, when we want to know what is really implied by the Word or the Christ or Christianity and science, then we can perhaps flow the following way. So the problem is stated. Could you get it? Take another chart. Take another chart. It would be the sculpturing of the four sides of the holy city, when we would like to have a good insight into it. So what you do or could do, you don't need to do, is to start with the Word. And you take the Word in Christian Science and you begin to see that Word first in Christian Science, namely that one builds up one's consciousness, what is God? Just as we stated it again when we did the first exercise. And we fill our consciousness with the fact that God is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And so we feel that by stating the nature of God, we have stated that nature which is the answer to a false conception of God. And we established in our consciousness the bigness of the definition of God itself. But then you can say to yourself, but God is actually only the triune principle, namely the Trinity of life, truth, and love. And your thought goes right up to absolute Christian Science, to life, truth, and love. In a way, you see, we leave behind the question in the Word that we have to use mind, spirit, and soul as that which counteracts the wrong conception of being, namely a wrong conceptional sense of mortal mind, a wrong material conception of matter, a wrong conceptual sense of the five physical senses, the testimony of the five physical senses, but that you say actually the Word is only the self-declaration of the person of God, which says, I am life, truth, and love. That's why in the Bible we learn to know of the Trinity, and Mrs. Eddy was explained that that Trinity is the Father, Son, and Mother, life, truth, and love. So a higher sense of the Word would therefore be really that sense of the fatherhood of God as life, truth, and love. And one begins to see that therefore this is the Logos that constantly says, I am the Word, and nothing is made but what is made by the Word, life, truth, and love, you begin to realize within yourself, but this Word is the Word to everything, the one Word, the Word of life. And thought goes right up to the one life in divine science as the highest statement of the Word, where being just states itself and says, I am, I exist. I am the ever-present existence of being. Then thought can say, well, that's fine, but that's only a statement. And this is just a statement, but I want to have the proof of it. I want to have the actuality and factuality of this statement. So the Word leads us right over to the Christ, the one truth, and says, yes, this one life is the one truth. What I have been stating here is not just a hypothesis. I mean, what I have been stating as the Word is not just an hypothesis. This statement of the Word is truth. It's the great factuality of being. And then naturally you get that terrific sense again of the Christ in Absolute Christian Science, where you begin to realize that out of that one truth, out of that one factuality that being is, really pours forth all the individual manifestation of truths, so that the one truth in Divine Science becomes in Absolute Christian Science all truths, small t, plural, truths. And you feel, oh, that's big. Therefore, this word which I have been seeing as the beingness of being is really factual. It's the one truth, and that truth says, I show you that I am the truth of all truths. And as it shows us as the truth of all truths, through truth, life, and love, then your thought goes right further down to the Christ translation in Christian Science and says, which says, that Christ says, and this truth comes to every error and corrects it. Because we know that the Christ translation is that way how truth is correcting error. So that you feel that that truth, that one truth, is coming down as the principle of everything. And as the principle of everything, that truth in life expresses itself infinitely. And that that one truth here at the point of truth itself is saying, and that truth is a conscious truth for every situation. And as love here, it says, and that one truth, which is the truth about all situation, is the solving power to every situation. Love is that universal solvent to every situation, and it solves it by seeing that soul will overturn and overturn and overturn every situation, and by overturning you get the kind of purification, ordering of a situation in spirit, so that finally, when everything is sorted out, the pure idea stands out as a manifestation of mind, correcting the erroneous situation. And when you are there and see that now the true idea has come to us as that idea which is a corrective, you can say to yourself, but is that idea big enough to correct error, to resolve error? And so you ask yourself, how big is that idea? And you touch the whole order of the Christianity order, where we begin to see, yes, if an idea comes to us, see, that's always wonderful. If an idea comes to us, if a new idea comes to us, perhaps just faintly, just as a little light, we can take that little light and put it into Christianity. And when we put that little light into Christianity, it becomes a great light. Because putting it back into principle, we put it right back into the whole light. And so I see that that little light which has come to me is actually an idea of principle. An idea of principle. And therefore, that idea fills the whole universe, mind. All is idea. It fills the whole universe. It fills the whole realm of the universe. That idea is not just somewhere in my consciousness, in my brain, in my thinking at a certain time or space, it fills the whole universe. It reaches over ocean and continents. I just always see right that what comes to me as idea is an idea in principle and therefore fills in mind the whole universe. And when it fills the whole universe, I see it as soul, that therefore, because it fills the whole universe, therefore it has an identity of interest in that whole universe. That everything gears together in an identical way, in a one big interest, to gear together into one selfhood. And then I see that this idea must therefore reflect all other ideas. And as they reflect all other ideas, I can see that this idea which has come to me will be supported by the whole universe, life, will be upheld, affirmed by the whole universe, truth, will be welcomed and cherished and nurtured by the whole universe, love. And so I don't have any more a sense that that little light that came to me is little, then I see it big, filling the whole universe. And as I see it filling the whole universe, my thought may flow right to Christianity in Absolute Christian Science. In Absolute Christian Science, where it says, and this big idea will be eternal. Life in Absolute Christian Science eternalizes it, and love in Christian Science will preserve it eternally. I don't need to fear that this idea will get lost. It will no more disappear. I remember how John Dolly in his last days was reading over his whole first volume of his Bible talks, those days of creation, and he put it down and said, the idea is established, it can never get lost. See, he had that wonderful sense that the idea he read over, you see, his statement of the 7 days of creation, which was fundamental to his teaching, read it over, saw in Christianity the bigness of the idea, here in Christian Science as Christianity, then could see that it is built into life from where he got it, and therefore protected in love, life and love in Absolute Christian Science. And as we do that, our thought may rise to the Christianity in Divine Science, where we begin to realize that this idea is not only eternalized by life and love, but that it is always in and of love, that it is always built into the one fulfilled sense of love. That actually that idea never left the immortal matrix of being, love, never left it. And therefore always was embedded in the immortal matrix of being, love. And then thought may suddenly flow further, because then thought may ask a very fundamental question and may say, but for what purpose does this idea exist in the immortal matrix of being? Is it enough to see that an idea exists, or shouldn't the idea have a purpose? Shouldn't this idea work or operate? And you see, you go right over to science. Shouldn't this idea operate, principle, for the purpose of fulfilling an infinite plan, love? Always when you get to principle, love, you see that everything operates within an infinite purpose, within an infinite goal, that it makes sense. Principle love says principle makes sense. It isn't like in other sciences where principles don't make any sense. Usually all the other sciences have a principle, which do not make sense. They can make just the very opposite than sense. They can be very destructive. And every science seems to be quite a danger for humanity. Actually, mankind is becoming afraid of the sciences and see that if we can't handle the sciences with a high moral or ethical standard, and we would say with a spiritual standard, these sciences are anything except love. They are evil. They are destructive. They can destroy the whole evolution of 5 billion years, can destroy it right in 1 second. But here we have to do with a science that has not just a principle, but its principle is love. A plan, a purpose, a high aim. Makes sense. That's love. And so my thought goes right over to understand that this principle knows itself and knows that it has to fulfill an aim and that it works within that aim, within that plan. That it is an all-integrative, an all-integrating principle and not a disintegrating principle. Principle love. And within this integrating principle, I know what? I know that every idea within that integration is already perfect. Every one of them. See, now you come, when you come to Absolute Christian Science, the Truth and Love, you always have the idea in your focus, the specific truth in the focus, and you say, within that principle love, within the whole integrating principle of love, every one of the ideas is already at the state of perfection, truth and love, every one of them. We don't need to bring them forth. They exist there before Abraham was. Before the world was, I am. Not before the world was, I was. But before the world was, I am. And so thought says, can I realize that? Can I realize that every idea is already fulfilled? Every situation, every truth, every proposition is already fulfilled. How can I realize that in my understanding? So naturally thought goes right down to the science order in Christian Science, which we have seen gives us the structured understanding. That only through a structured understanding can I really see that every idea is what it is. So that all those truths, I go back to truth and love there, that all the truths that exist in being, in their perfection, they can be recognized, they can be understood. But how? Only through the science order in Christian Science. Because only a structured understanding can perceive ideas. Like understands like. Therefore, only an ideational consciousness, that's what is shown here in the science order, only an ideational structure consciousness can really see the truth of everything. You remember when we did the science order? You remember that? When we said, what does the science order want to achieve? And we said, the great point we have to see there is that the science order as the understanding or scientific understanding is the how to understand, not the what to understand. The how to understand is necessary in order to understand all that can be understood, all those truths that can be understood. And now you see, in absolute Christian Science you have truth and love, namely all the truths that are from time immemorial existing already in the perfect realm of the real, in the pre-stabilized realm of the real. These are the objects of our understanding, and they can only be perceived through the tools or through the glasses of the science order. Can you see that? So the science order here, soul, life, spirit, truth, mind and love, principle, does not tell us what we understand. They tell us the means and whys and tools of how to understand, but the what is there in truth and love, in absolute Christian Science. The what we understand. And the purpose of what they are really shown in principle love on the level of divine science, where it is shown the purpose of what we understand. So in this way, you see, you can go vertically through those levels until you come to the point of science and Christian Science where it touches the structured understanding, which is a principled understanding. And this principled understanding is naturally a principled understanding of what fundamentally? Of the divine infinite principle. So that it shows that the principled understanding or the structure of scientific understanding is actually isomorphic of the same form as the principle of being. So that the principle of being has the same structure as the structured understanding of that principle of being. And that is the reason why we can understand the infinite at all, because like understands like.